And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagman and Hagman Report for today. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania. Global Star Radio Network is the primary broadcasting venue, 7 to 10, Monday through Friday. That's the time, the place, of course, Global Star, YouTube Live, Blog Talk Radio, simulcast on all venues. We have two websites, Hagman and Hagman.com for show information, HagmanReport.com for news, information, analysis, show prep, as I like to call it. So many headlines, so little time. Can you feel it? Can you feel the spiritual change? Can you feel the change in what's the corner that we turn? Can you feel all of this? Can you feel the coming censorship? Or it's already here, I suppose. I'm going to push the envelope a little bit. Pro-life, pro-marriage, anti-homosexual, anti-sodomite, anti-immigration, illegal immigration, pro-borders, pro-culture, pro-Christianity, anti-jihad, anti-Sharia. Jump in anytime, Joe.
Hello.
Jump in. Here's what we want to do. Let's dispense with all of the words that will ban us, that will demonetize our content because we are offending the sensibilities of YouTube/Google.
Yeah.
Let's do that. Let's jump in. We are pro-marriage.
Looking at the list here.
Pro-marriage.
Okay. Here's what is happening.
We are anti-abortion.
There's a new advertiser-friendly policy introduced by YouTube to demonetize content that is politically incorrect, opinions or content that offends viewers. Now,
I need a safe place to retreat to. Wait a second. Rutgers or one of the universities has the.
Yeah, no.
This is how sick, twisted, pussified, wussified, idiotic these progressive, mindless, communist bastards are in this country today that are ruining this country, and I'm sick and tired of it. We're not going to stand for it, and neither should you.
That'll do it.
So, come at us. And Hillary Rodham Clinton, you're a criminal. You should be taken off, in my view anyway, in chains and prison garb, in orange jumpsuit, thrown into the worst of the worst prisons, breaking rocks along with your I don't even want to call him your husband. It's just my opinion, of course. Because I certainly don't want to get sued for crying out loud, or worse, taken off the air. Yeah, I'm fired up. Yeah, this country, you, the progressive communist Democrats out there have ruined this country and in the process of ruining this country, and we let it happen on our watch. You all right? It's my daughter. She came into the studio. Did you hear that? Yeah, see, this country is being laid to waste by the communist infiltrators, the people who infiltrated this country, subsequent to the Second World War, the Illuminati, Luciferian, Baal worship, Moloch worshiping, sodomite loving, perverse morons with no intellectual reasoning powers whatsoever. You've ruined this country. And shame on you. But shame on us for allowing it to happen on our watch. And shame on us as Christians, as men, for allowing it to happen. And we cannot allow it to happen any further. You know what? Demonetize our you know what? Look, we are fighting the fight. See, I mentioned earlier that when Hillary Diane Rodham, the witch, the yak Clinton, time for a yak roll. There we go. So I mentioned when she went after Jones on the alt-right, like a spilling a glass of wine on a white tablecloth. It spreads out. We're part of it. Okay, we're part of that. We're part of that. They're coming after us. You see, they're trying to bankrupt us, and that's another thing. Let me tell you something. There are posers out there, posers as Christians, Christians who are posing as Christians, who are acting as the police, the judge, the jury, and the executioner, saying, you, Hagman Report, you guys, or Wiles, or whoever, shame on you, you're not doing it right. You're false preachers, you're false teachers, you're whatever you are, but you're certainly not a respectable Christian. They're fragging the friends because they've got nothing better to do, because what prompts them is jealousy, envy, greed. Oh my gosh, how could he possibly, being the moron that Hagman is, how could he possibly have a successful program, him and his son? And since we can't rise to that level ourselves, we can't build it ourselves, we choose not to build it ourselves, what we're going to do, we're going to tear them down. And you know what else we're going to do? We're going to get other people to throw monkey wrenches into their paths. That's right. You might ask, how are they doing that? We're going to try to shut them up in other ways. See, here's what we're going to do. We are going to launch an initiative ourselves. We are going to bankrupt them. That's what's happening right now against us. I'm sorry, I can't get into that further. But if you don't think for one second that you're on target, that you're a target of this, you're not immune to it, ladies and gentlemen listening to this. You're not immune to it. And I don't know if Donald Trump is the answer. He's certainly an answer, but he's not the answer. I can tell you what's not the answer, and that's the beast Hillary Rodham, the demonic, the yak, in my opinion, Clinton. That's not the answer. And I can tell you what else isn't the answer. These sniveling, whining, wussified, idiotic, moronic, so-called self-professed accusing Christian brethren who say, well, you can't do that. You can't say that. You know, as far as the ultimate authority, I turn to the Bible for all things spiritual. As far as the ultimate authority, I turn to the Constitution for all things legal. And if I want to get advice from anyone, I turn to Pastor David Langford, my brother Steve Quayle. And I'm proud of that. Very proud of that. Because no man can exist without, or should exist anyway, without fellowship, without guidance, without that brotherhood of advice. But let me tell you something. Our days seem to be numbered. I'm talking about on the commercial venues. Our days seem to be numbered. We're going to exist long after they think we're gone. We're going to exist. We're going to continue to exist because we're going to fight, and we're not going down without a fight. And let me tell you something. You bring the fight to us, you're going to get a fight. Because I don't back down. I don't have to think and spend a lot of time deciding whether I'm going to act. Trump, build the wall. Build the wall. And you know what? I'll help. Send me down there. I'll help. Joe will help. Actually, I'll send Joe down there. He can help. I'll drive the bus. Taking the illegals back. I'll be driving the bus, opening the door, kicking people out at the border. That's right. Mic up, Eric. Come on, man. Get into this conversation. This tonight's program is Open Line, Open Frenzy. as I sit in my $10,000 suit. Actually, since I get done, I'm going to go back to my mansion. I might take a helicopter, I don't know, or a limo. But you see, here's the thing. This country has been ruined by the very people who we have allowed to lead. This country has been ruined by the McCains and the Bushes and the Clintons and all these. Are you okay? I know you're over there. You're kind of saying, "Well, you're gonna shut up." The people on both sides of the political aisle. It doesn't matter. Republican, Democrat doesn't matter anymore. Never did really. It's all one brotherhood under the Luciferian globalist system. And if you think I'm riled up right now, you should see me earlier. I'm calmed down, like really, a lot since I was earlier. But you've laid this country to waste. Look at your prize city, Obama, Barry of Chicago, Rahm Emanuel. Hey, how good, how well is gun control working there? When right now you've had more murders in Chicago than New York and L.A. combined. How's that working out for you? Pretty good, right? How's the war on drugs working? Huh? How's that little sham working? You know, I never thought I'd say this. But the one agency, I believe, having worked with... No, I'm going to be very careful with what I say here. Having cooperated as an investigator and worked with agents of the Drug Enforcement Agency. Get rid of that. That money... grubbing antiquated agency. Get rid of it. The EPA. Get rid of the EPA. The NEA. Get rid of the NEA. Hey, YouTube. Check the JD, check the monetization here. How are we doing? Have we been demonetized yet? It's coming. But we have something others don't. We have something that the other media doesn't, and that's supporters. The people that have supported us and do support us, and I don't take that lightly, and thank God for you people. And people like Minuteman Stove, MinutemanStove.com. Support our advertisers, support our people who advertise with us, and you can advertise too. Just check our website for the advertising opportunities there. But see, as like-minded Christians, we all need to band together, and we have to say, enough is enough is enough. And yes, it is. And as I said before, and I'll say it again, this country does not have a problem with intolerance. This country has a problem with too much tolerance. We tolerate too much crap. We tolerate the murder of unborn children. And don't tell me it's a fetus or a clump of tissues. It's a child, unborn child. And in my view, anyway, life begins at conception. Now, you want to argue that point, you go right ahead. But talk to the hand. Is that still something? Or is that, no? My daughter, no? My daughter just said, no, that's a fail. Epic fail, whatever that means. And she said, oh my gosh, just stop. Apparently I must have offended somebody here. I'm getting some feedback saying, well, this is why I don't stick around for this stuff. Bye-bye. Send the yak across. Go ahead. Don't let the door hit you on the rear end on the way out. Can you tell? Oh, look, I'm looking forward to some decompression time here. I really am. I think right now is, look, people say, I don't need to be yelled at. I guess, no, you don't need to be yelled at. And I'm not yelling at you. What I'm trying to do is awaken that spirit within everyone. And I know you've got it, where you say, enough is enough. Rather than placate the people who take us down, who constantly say that we're wrong, rather than try to be Mr. Nice Guy and pretend I don't have an opinion just to keep the peace. I've got to now make my opinion known, because acquiescence many times is or silence, I'm sorry, many times is mistaken for acquiescence or for tolerance or for being, you know, accepting a certain behavior or a certain view. You know, I just want to thank all the police officers out there as well that are standing in the face of danger. I know that we've got a lot of police officers that listen to this broadcast every night. And Officer Sean, thank you so much for what you do. I want to thank each and every one of you for standing up. And honestly, I you've got a job that I once thought I wanted to be a police officer until I grew up and I realized that, man, you couldn't pay me enough to do that. You talk about a job that's that's thankless. And I have many friends that are police officers in the state and federal levels. But I guess what I'm saying is you've got now a leadership in that, specifically in the executive branch. The community activist in the executive branch has now created a hostile work environment for each and every one of our officers, to the point where we know we've seen it in Dallas, we've seen it elsewhere, where the assassinations is open season on police officers, and they take. You know, it's interesting. I heard Milo talking. Joe Milo from you know, I don't agree with his a lot of things. I don't agree with his lifestyle, but he was talking about you know, black lives don't matter. Really, black lives don't matter to Black Lives Matter. If they did, then they would be talking about why 94% of blacks are killed at the hands of other blacks, why 75% of the black children grow up without fathers in their household. Oh, believe me, the whites have their problems too, and the Asians and all the other minorities, we've got our problems as well. But see, White Lives Matter now, as you pointed out yesterday, Joe, is now a classified as a hate group.
Yeah, and there's some other information that has come out dealing with Black Lives Matter. This article from yesterday on Zero Hedge talks about the latest Gucci Fur leak that reveals what Democrats really thinks of Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, you're being used. To everyone who happens to fall upon this program by accident associated with Black Lives Matter, you're nothing more than a pawn. You're a dupe. And you know, beyond that, you're really a moron. Okay? You're being used by the George Soroses, by the Hillary, Diane Rodham, the Clintons, by those people. You're being used. Go ahead, Joe.
The hacker known as Guccifer 2.0 recently uploaded new material to his website, which claims to have been received courtesy of Nancy Pelosi's personal computer. The new release includes several internal memos from the DCCC staff, as well as talking points on various topics. Now, in the release here, there are memos from Nancy Pelosi's personal computer to DCCC staff, where it talks about the Black Lives Matter movement and how to engage and handle the movement. And here are some of the standout points in the leaked information. One, they say that they lay out how the presidential candidates have struggled to respond to tactics of the Black Lives Matter movement, while there has been little engagement with House candidates. They go on to say this email should not be handed out to anybody outside the building, and it should be kept confidential. But they give a best practices for how to handle Black Lives Matter, what they want, their tactics, and their message, and how the media, as well as the politicians, should deal with these groups. And what sticks out here and is interesting is that what the memo notes is that presidential candidates have struggled to respond to tactics of the movement. They refer to the movement as a radical movement to end anti-black racism. They also warn not to use trigger phrases like all lives matter or black on black crime. The memo goes on to offer the following background tactics and best practices when dealing with Black Lives Matter. And what they talk about in the background, they say that they want a radical movement to end anti-black racism. Though police abuses are a central component, the founders view the movement more boldly. They want to reform the criminal justice system through sentencing reform, ending the prison-industrial conflicts, and to end police brutality, the killing of unarmed African Americans, like the acquittal of George Zimmerman is written here. They want to collect data on police shootings and demilitarization of police. I find that one interesting, as their movement has caused Obama to call for a federalization of police.
Well, don't forget, Joe, there's dissension among the ranks. A lot, you know, just like any other organization, you've got different factions pulling in different directions. So you're right, but go on.
They also talk in here about how to interact with the Black Lives Matter activist. If approached by BLM activists, campaign staff should offer to meet with local activists. The BLM attendees should be limited, personal or small group meetings. Listen to their concerns. Don't offer support for concrete policy positions, and use your staff to meet with activists. It says, be a partner and lead from behind. BLM needs partners to achieve their agenda, and they want to be part of the conversation. However, BLM activists don't want their movements co-opted by the Democratic Party. They're leery of politicians who hijack their message to win campaigns. Again, what's the message? Don't say all lives matter or mention black-on-black crime. Now, this is in big, bold letters here. They are viewed as red herring attacks. This response will garner additional media scrutiny and only anger BLM activists. This is the worst response. And they go on to give a little bit on what to say to the media and how to handle the media. And here are those points. Many communities in America feel unfairly targeted by police, and it's an issue that requires addressing. Explores reforms to ensure officers are properly trained and don't infringe on citizens' rights. Hold police accountable to their actions when there is a clear case of wrongdoing. A history of systematic racism continues to confront the daily lives of African Americans. The country must look for ways to address this legacy and make sure African Americans feel they are treated with fairness and dignity. Now, that's not the only controversial memo that came out of Nancy Pelosi's computer. There was another one released.
Here it is. Yes.
There's two, actually. One was about the members of the lack of Hispanic staff at the DCCC, particularly at senior levels, and they get into some of that. But let me pull up the article I had from yesterday, because this was
Nancy
Pelosi memo.
Yeah,
this is about the Iraq war withdrawal.
Oh, okay.
And
okay. I didn't know you had that.
Very
one.
Interesting. Nancy Pelosi memo: Obama Iraq withdrawal created Islamic State. An internal Democratic Party memo alleged to be hacked from Nancy Pelosi's personal computer and posted by hacker Guccifer 2.0 seems to agree with Donald Trump's sentiments that the policies of Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama helped to create the Islamic State. In short, our invasion created the atmosphere for a Jordanian to start a Muslim sectarian war, which ultimately created ISIS. States an October 2nd, 2014 memo from Mike Ryan, policy director for the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, the DCCC. The memo titled ISIS Backgrounder was clearly attempting to first blame the creation of the Islamic State on the Bush administration's invasion of Iraq in 2003, a war supported by Clinton. ISIS did not exist as an organization until June 2014. However, the memo details the situation worsened after U.S. troops left Iraq, helping quickly deteriorate the situation further. Unmentioned is that the bulk of the withdrawal of U.S. forces from Iraq took place under the Obama administration and was complete by December of 2011. The memo further relates to ISIS is armed with U.S.-made weapons seized from Iraqi troops. The weapon seizures took place largely after the U.S. withdrew from Iraq. Regarding the creation of ISIS, the memo states, When the U.S. invaded Iraq in 2003, we triggered a massive insurgency against our presence. Around this time, a Jordanian ex-convict named Zakari traveled to Iraq with one goal, to establish a religious state for Sunni Muslims. Zakari was killed by American forces in 2006. His successors now lead the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria. The memo further outlines the origins of some of the terrorist group's weapons and details the number of fighters ISIS was thought to possess in the time around October 2014. Now, this month, Donald Trump had said ISIS is honoring President Obama during one of his rallies. He also went on to say he is the founder of ISIS. He is the founder of ISIS, okay? He founded ISIS, and I would say the co-founder would be crooked Hillary Clinton. That's what Donald Trump says. Now, this email from Nancy Pelosi's hacked computer reveals that their own party, top politicians, feel the same way.
And Pelosi knew about Benghazi. She knew it was a lie. Pelosi is a liar. Folks, this universe is comprised of what? Protons, neutrons, electrons, and in Pelosi's case, morons. We're going to be right back. You stay with us for another segment. Hagman and Hagman. News analysis coming right up on the other side of the break. By the way, we need to band together, each and every one of us, and fight the New World Order encroachment. You're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on this in this edition. Hopefully you're listening via Global Star Blog Talk Radio or watching us live on YouTube. Want to just say welcome to everyone listening. Thank you so much for listening. Again, I want to remind everyone, two different websites, Hagman and Hagman.com for show information, and HagmanReport.com for show prep. And you know, right before the break, Joe was talking about a number of issues that Guccifer 2.0, the hacked documents, the leaked documents from Pelosi's own computer. That includes the fact that they knew about Benghazi, the attacks. It was a lie. Now things are you can see where everything is coming to light now. Isn't that something? And expect more. We told you about this before, to expect more. More is coming. Before we move on, tonight's broadcast brought to you by Minuteman Stove. MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com. Folks, if you're of the prepping mindset, definitely visit MinutemanStove.com. You see, you need this item to cook your long-term storable foods, or alternatively to use in the field, whether you're, hey, you could be working construction. Look, I was talking to a guy that is actually using this for, in his construction site to boil water for, he drinks tea. I don't know why, but anyway. So, he boils the water on the stove. Now, I know there's an easier way to do it. Just run down to the 7-Eleven for a boiling or hot cup of water, but this is a great item. The Minuteman stove, self-contained, seals airtight for travel, for storage. It's the only self-contained rocket stove on the market. This separates it from all others. MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com. Tell them the Hagman and Hagman Report sent you. You know, it's interesting because during the break I just scanned a couple of emails and say, oh, you can't be so angry. My goodness, the anger there. Oh, wow. You know. Well, folks, look, if you're not righteously angry, you're not paying attention. Now, I'm not addressing critics. I'm addressing the mindset of some of the people that I see that we deal with every day. And it's always the same thing. You're not thinking rationally, and you're acting, reacting emotionally. No. It's not a reaction, an emotional reaction. It's a righteous anger against the insipid nature of the globalists who have thrust down our throats their ways and their lies. You see what Joe is talking about. The lies are being exposed. The lies are obvious. The lies from Pelosi. Anytime any of these people open their mouths in Washington, inside the Beltway, they are lying to you. We've got in Islamic infiltration, Huma Abedin, Muslim Brotherhood connections, lying at the left or right-hand side. I don't know, which side of the bed, Eric, is Huma Abedin take and Hillary? There's Hillary and then there's Huma. I'm not sure who's got which side of the bed. I guess it really doesn't matter. Probably Hillary would be on the left side of Huma. Although, you know, that's, who knows. But nonetheless, what's that? In the middle? They're both in the middle? I won't say what I was thinking, but see, if you're not, in my view, if you're not, even as an American, even as a conservative American, but as, especially as a Christian conservative in America, if you're not righteously angry, then you're not paying attention. You're not alive. The opposite of love is not hate. In my view, it's indifference. If you don't think about that, if you're indifferent to something, meaning you don't care about something, right? So, I mean, I'm indifferent to a lot of things. And like, you know, the people who, I do show a lot of indifference to people, to people who are walking around sanctimoniously thinking that they've got all the answers. Because I certainly don't have all the answers. They might. They think they might. And they're certainly quick to write and speak about it and to denigrate, you know, the truth tellers and the alternative media. And see, that's another fight that we're fighting, because a lot of, and folks, I want to be just perfectly honest here, because part of the equation that we're, part of the enemy we're facing are wolves that are, and understand this, they're wolves. They are on the side of the Clintons and the globalists and the anti-Christians. They're posing as Christians. They're posing as conservatives. But what they're doing is they're causing chaos and disruption in the alternative media. And they're under the pretext of being correct, under the pretext of having better solutions or answers, or under the pretext of trying to expose some sort of perverted tactics of the alternative media. You know, some say, oh, all you guys are, you know, see, you're fear-mongering and poor, you're fear-mongers and fear porn, and this is how you make money and sell survival food and gear or gold and silver and the advertising and, you know, to support your lavish lifestyle. Well, the last time I looked, we did not have a lavish lifestyle. And even if we did, you know, to me, what the people, the wolves, the ankle biters, the people who are out there to take down the truth tellers in the alternative media are equally, I'll use the word again, insipid and a part of the problem as those people who are overtly, and in some cases worse than those who are overtly antagonistic and critical. And the reason I mention this is because each one of us, I believe, if you're listening to this, and I don't care if you're listening to this in Europe or the UK or in the United States or Canada, see, the worst part of this, folks, is the fact that you're gonna experience this yourself. Whether it's gonna be within your family, within your church, within your job, employment area, within your whatever, you're gonna experience this yourself. So please understand that that this is going to, that you're going to have this, and you're going to have this fight brought to you. And many people say, well, I'm ready for the fight. And they don't go out looking for a fight. The fight is coming to you. In some cases, it's already here. And there's so many headlines, though. There's so many headlines that speak of the coming tyranny. There's so many headlines that are setting us up for, in my view anyway, for the coming chaos, the chaos that is on the horizon.
Well, let's go back to the YouTube story. We did not get into the particulars, but the new advertiser-friendly policy introduced by YouTube will punish those who express politically incorrect opinions or dare to offend viewers by demonetizing their content. Now, folks who have YouTube channels understand what the monetization is. And demonetization is when you create a YouTube video and post it on your channel, you have the option to insert ads. And the more people who view your video, the more revenue you can generate from those ads.
And you know, just to insert my ad here, we certainly wish we didn't have to do that. But see, that pays the infrastructure, part of the infrastructure. Although we have support coming in, it's deficient. But nonetheless, we thank everyone. But see, Joe, I would love to be able to say, no, we don't need any of that, because that's a hassle and that's annoying to the max, and we don't want that. But
it doesn't pay a lot.
No, but it still takes care of some of the fees that we have to pay as broadcasters. But go ahead.
So these new rules already have sparked an outcry from the YouTube community, and there is a separate article. There's one on InfoWars that lays out the details of this, but there is also on the website Mediate, there are people who have posted to taken to Twitter about their videos that were already demonetized and for what reasons. But the back to the InfoWars article, it says controversial or sensitive subjects and events, including subjects related to war, political conflicts, natural disasters, and tragedies, can be demonetized content. Now, this is from YouTube. Content that is considered inappropriate for advertising. 1. Sexually suggestive content, including partial nudity and sexual humor.
Okay.
2. Violence, including displaying of serious injury and events related to violent extremism.
Okay.
3. Inappropriate language, including harassment, profanity, and vulgar language. 4. Promotion of drugs and regulated substances, including selling, use, and abuse of such items. And last, controversial or sensitive subjects and events, including subjects related to war, political conflicts, natural disasters, and tragedies, even if graphic imagery is not shown.
That's right.
If any of the above describes any portion of your video, then the video may not be approved for monetization. If monetization is approved, your video may not be eligible for all available ad formats. YouTube reserves the right not to monetize a video, as well as suspend monetization features on a channel that repeatedly submit videos violating our policies.
So, and they can do and this.
Here's some of the examples down. From people. The Young Turks had 12 of their videos from August demonetized. Another guy on YouTube named Drunk Uncle decided that YouTube is keeping his allowance until we stop upsetting his bartender. Another guy got his videos demonetized because he was talking about depression.
But the more blatant of all is the anti-Christian conservative.
Well, no, segment. Yeah. One of these YouTube disabled ads because of somebody doing an ad about the acne. They say, response to these videos, and the one about the acne says, due to YouTube's ad revenue shifting landscape towards more advertiser-friendly content, one or more of your videos have been disabled for monetization. And then it says, you know, why, video title, one of this is talking about a video game, why this is a good game, and they say reason, it's a controversial topic.
Well Joe,
these are just a few examples, but like I said, a guy's depression video, a guy talking about a video game.
But see, those are candy butt examples.
Oh, they are. They are.
Okay. No, we're talking about...
The Young Turks is an example of the political... 12 of their videos from August have already been demonetized for political censorship reasons.
Of course. And there it is. And you might say, well, YouTube is a privately owned closed corporation, or a privately owned corporation at the end of the day. That's their living room. They can censor. Hey, by the way, Doug, you censor in your chat room. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're right. I do. Or I ask that it be done. I never see the chat, basically. So, but yeah, I do. You know why? You know what? I ask to be censored. The individuals who come in there intent on causing strife and chaos. That's all. You can say I believe the Earth is flat. I don't care. I really don't care. It's not. But you know what? I mean, it's. But if you do it to disrupt, to annoy, to harass, don't do that. Don't be an idiot. Okay. But to segue into pile on with what you said, Joe, when you look at why all of this is happening, and folks listen carefully here to this, because the incestual political media is behind a lot of this. The media, and you know this, is bought and paid for by the Clinton crime cartel, but listen to me carefully here. You might say, well, that's a hyperbolic statement. Give me some examples. You've got, number one, NBC senior deputy political editor Mark Murray. He's married to Clinton, or to Obama appointee Sasha Johnson, who also worked for CNN, who is the chief of staff at the FAA. Did you follow me? Follow the bouncing ball now. Let me repeat that. NBC senior deputy political editor. That's the guy who decides what goes in, what goes out. It stays out of the politics part of NBC. He's married to Obama appointee Sasha Johnson, who also worked for CNN, who's the chief of staff at the FAA. Oh, wait, ABC? Well, their news executive producer, Ian Cameron, is married to Susan Rice. Where did I hear that name before? Hey, Susan Rice, the national security advisor. And remember, she's the one that spouted off the false, fictitious fantasy about Benghazi. CBS President David Rhodes is the brother of Ben Rhodes, Obama's deputy national security advisor for strategic communications, and is an advisor on the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action with Iran. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's all fair. And then ABC News correspondent Claire Shipman, married to former White House Press Secretary Jay Carney, that little green behind the ears. Lay off the purple stick, Doug. All right. ABC News and Univision reporter Matthew Jaffe is married to Katie Hogan, Obama's deputy press secretary. Yeah, let's keep it all in the family, shall we? And ABC President Ben Sherwood is the brother of Obama's special advisor, Elizabeth Sherwood. Aren't there any people out there who aren't related to this criminal cabal, this mob? No. Apparently not. CNN President Virginia Moseley, married to former Hillary Clinton Deputy Secretary Tom Needs, whatever. Associated people, but not necessarily interrelated or directly related. You got George Stephanopoulos, Clinton's White House Communications Director and Press Secretary at ABC News, as an anchor there. You've got PBS Chief of Staff Julie Ambender, Clinton's Deputy Director of OPA and DOJ Comcast.
You hear about this one?
Go ahead. Fire away.
Matt Lauer will moderate the first forum between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
And
It's an hour. They're going to appear separately, Joe. It's Obama and Trump and Clinton are going to appear separately, answer questions lobbed by Matt. Where is Matt Lauer? Where in the world is Matt Lauer?
Yeah, and he apparently has ties to the Clinton Foundation.
No, you don't say.
Yeah, he does.
Oh, be still my heart. See, it all goes back to, and we told you this earlier, it all goes back to the Clinton Foundation as well.
It's worth noting that Lauer is listed as a notable past member on the Clinton Global Initiative website, along with Anderson Cooper and Katie Kirk. In the past, a Clinton Foundation official has said that the journalists who are part of the foundation were never asked to pay the $20,000 member fee. In 2012, they reclassified members of the media who participate as guests rather than members to acknowledge the distinction, they say, and to get away from any stink of collaboration between the two. And, you know, it is very deep. The media and corporate and government marriages, literal marriages, from personal relationships to the business relationships that is we're seeing with the TPP now, as Obama's looking to ratify this himself, just as he is looking to ratify and implement the climate Paris Accord. But what we see here is something that's been going on for a long time, the interrelationship between media and politics and the misleading of American people of their information. And you know, what's being said is that the TPP is the endgame strategy to curtail American sovereignty and establish global corporate dominance. and they're going to do this. They started with NAFTA. They're going to end with the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and the media is lobbying for the TPP, as well as Hillary Clinton, as we see just the constant attacking of Donald Trump and his policies and objectives by the mainstream media. They even went so far today in the New York Times to link Julian Assange of WikiLeaks to Russia, even though in the article, which they say is very deep in the article, the only hard news is that American officials say Mr. Assange and WikiLeaks probably have no direct ties to Russia or Russian intelligence services, while throughout the rest of the article they go on to talk about Vladimir Putin and how what's missing from Assange's leaks is any dirt on Vladimir Putin, and they try to tie WikiLeaks to Russia, as well as Donald Trump to Russia, saying that Putin is basically Trump's handler. But then they go on to say that there is no link between WikiLeaks and Russia in the article.
And a lot of this is planted. A lot of this information is planted, and it's BS. You know, we've been getting a lot of news, and I want to address this too. A lot of people are saying, hey, did you hear about the backdoor ammo ban? Okay. Yes. All right. Is it true? Remember, we mentioned this yesterday, with the claim that the ATF reclassified wetted nitrocellulose as a high explosive back in June of this past year. Now, is that true? Yes, that is definitely true. And some say that will lead to a backdoor ammo restriction. So what happened was the ATF reclassified this wetted nitrocellulose as a high explosive from a I don't want to say non-explosive. There's a term for it. But now, what does this do? Well, there is an issue here that will affect ammunition purchases, or has the capability of affecting ammunition purchases and banning and such. This has to do with how the ATF regulates a chemical compound, and that is nitrocellulose. Now, since day one, essentially, the firearm industry has been allowed to store, transport, store and transport, I guess, this wetted nitrocellulose without having to treat it as a high explosive. And the makers, the creators, the manufacturers deliberately mix the chemical compound with water to make it less volatile, essentially. All right. Now, that's a very simplified explanation here. So what the ATF did was, okay, at the instructions of Barry Satoro, the community activist, communist plant, Muslim sympathizer, Muslim prayer rug dragging, knuckle dragging guy in the White House, what he decided to do is instruct the ATF to reclassify wetted nitrocellulose. Well, and the ATF dutifully complied, or is in the process thereof. What's taking place right now? It's pending. The entire reclassification is pending. Now, it's actually pending industry input before the reclassification. Will it be reclassified? 90% sure, yes. Actually, wetted nitrocellulose was classified as non-explosive, which made the transport and storage and such easier and less restrictive than it being classified as a high explosive by ATF standards. So what does this all mean? Are the people crying, hey, this is a backdoor ammo ban? Are they correct? Well, they could be, depending on what the ATF decides. And yes, the ATF is going to decide, my estimation, based on my research and studies, that, yeah, they're going to reclassify this component. Well, what's going to be the blowback? Well, it's going to create a lot of difficulties. And I'm really simplifying this. I don't really think it needs too much more. But right now, the blowback so far has caused the ATF to rescind or to reconsider. It's caused the ATF to reconsider the decision and at least temporarily put a stop to their ruling in order to get the opinions from the manufacturers and ammo dealers and such. Now, there was an addendum to the June announcement. And don't forget, we're talking about something that happened back in June. And that did appear that made it on, I believe it was Guns and Ammo or one of the similar websites. And I was notified of that back in June, looked at it, and I thought, okay, well, you know, there's still, the jury's still out on this. Is there a backdoor ammo ban? I mean, is this what it's attempting to be? Yes, I believe that to be the case. So, really quickly, the situation is this. We are going to, you've seen the ban of ammunition or the artificial shortage of ammunition through the purchases, of the government purchases. Remember when you couldn't walk into Walmart and buy 22 long rifles or 45s mm-hmm. or 40s or 38s or whatever? Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, this is the same thing. I mean, if you can't buy
it. Before Homeland Security teamed up with Walmart.
Right. Well, it was during that time.
See something, say something. Janet Napolitano coalition, and right before that, they did start pulling their rifles and their guns from the shelves all across the nation.
Yeah. So is this going to be a factor? Yes. Is it a factor right now? Well, you know, I'm not going to argue the point that it's not, because it is, and I don't think that the people who are sounding the alarm bells are wrong. I believe that they are correct. I believe the intent is there, is that, however, not explaining it fully or not understanding the entire process of what the ATF, in conjunction with the executive branch, is trying to do, what their ultimate goal is to really, in at least in my estimation, give the public a wrong opinion. So we need to look at this with the understanding of what exactly is taking place, okay? Yes, this is going to have a dramatic effect on your ability to purchase ammunition, because it's going to affect the way the ammunition manufacturers are handling a component of the ammunition. And of course, that's going to throw a monkey wrench into the whole process. This, thanks to Satoru and the ATF, the nanny state. You know, we have to protect the public at all costs. My goodness. Just like the DEA, which is another insanity. Okay. There's some, Indonesian, compound root out there, and this just made the news, and it allowed me to just vent on this, because we've got a minute to the top here. But I can't remember the name. It starts with a K, but it's a leaf, and it's sold on the internet, sold in some health stores as capsules, as an alternative to opiate pain relief. Well, the DEA comes in and says, you know what, there were 660 poison cases using this, or plant. 660 cases last year. Wow. Really? That's a lot of cases, right? My butt. So what they've done, what the DEA has done, is saying, okay, we're going to take this from the shelves of the stores, the health food stores, and we're going to classify it as a Schedule 1 narcotic. And if you know about Schedule 1 narcotics, that's the same as heroin, LSD, PCP, meth, whatever. That's because we have a nanny state at the hands of the community activists and the communists in this country. You're listening to Hagmann and Hagmann Report. Folks, thanks for tuning in. We'll be right back.